Good morning. This message is for August 22nd, 2021. And due to circumstances beyond our control, today it's just audio. But please know that you can download the PowerPoint and can follow along with the PowerPoint. Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're excited that you're here at Buckhannon Line Church joining with us this morning. This morning we're focusing on Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, as recorded in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. But before we do that, let's just take a moment to pray and welcome the presence of the Lord among us. Dear Dad in heaven, we come to you in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on that promise of yours, Lord Jesus, that if two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We welcome you. We rejoice that you are here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And even though we don't understand this technology, we not only acknowledge you, we welcome you. May you impact us through the word and through your presence. And so thank you. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do in these moments ahead. We ask these things, and we ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. And again, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. And I'll be reading them, but please join with me. Turn there in your Bibles. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Now, this passage, there's so many truths in this passage. We're just going to look at a few of them. And primarily, what Jesus prayed. Again, Jesus prayed as followed. He began, "Abba, Father," and then, "Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. He prayed multiple times, but ultimately he landed on, "Yet not what I will, but what you will. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Jesus prayed intently. Prayer is powerful. Scripture says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. There are clear evidences in Scripture that we are to pray. I've said I don't understand prayer because it seems like a mystery to me. Yet prayer is powerful. And how did Jesus begin his prayer? He began it with "Abba, Father," you know, which is reminiscent of Matthew 6:9, where disciples came to Jesus and said, "Please teach us how to pray." And how did Jesus begin? "Our Father who art in heaven." Have you ever thought about that? Please take some time if you haven't already, or again, take some time and think about "Our Father." What are the implications of "Our Father"? The Father of Jesus, God Almighty, is our Father. How cool is that? How powerful is that? Our Father. And also, in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 23, Jesus basically says that the Father loves us, those who have believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as he loves Jesus. How profoundly powerful is that? When we pray, we're not just praying to some spirit. We are praying to our Father in heaven. In fact, I believe that prayer is about both communing with God and communicating with the creator of the universe, our Father. And by communing, I'm reminded of Psalm 131, where it talks about a child leaning against its mom's chest and being weaned and content. That's what I think of by communing. It's just being in his presence, being with him. I know with my late wife, there were times where, yes, we talked and we communicated with each other, but there were also times that we were in the same room and that was enough. We were just in each other's presence and that was enough. We were communing together. And I believe that that is an aspect, it should be an aspect of our prayer life as well. Another implication, our Father is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that make us? If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you are either a prince or a princess of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are someone special in God's eyes, in the eyes of the universe. You are either a prince or a princess if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's something to think about. You know, so many times we think so little of ourselves and the reality, and we should be humble. We should be humble, but we should also understand and realize that we are a prince or a princess of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am. That's who our Father is. That's who our Father is. That's our lineage. That's a part of who we are. We need to understand that. We need to realize that and grab that and hold on to that, especially in the dark days, the dark times, the times of trouble and trials. Next, Jesus acknowledged God's power. Jesus said, everything is possible for you. Everything is possible for you. Is there anything that God cannot do? The reality is God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. If God would just blink for an instant, the universe could disappear. Because God not only creates it, he sustains it. Psalm 139 teaches that and all through the Bible. God, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. But sometimes a good parent says no to a child. Sometimes God says no because he knows that's either best for us or best for others. Now, another aspect here, Jesus prayed three times. Three times. You know, often people come to me and ask, Pastor Jeff, is it okay to pray more than once? Absolutely. Jesus prayed three times. Three times he sought the Lord. May this cup pass from me. Three times he prayed that, but ultimately he landed on, not my will, but thy will be done. May your will be done, what you believe is most important. And then here's another important passage, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. I'll read that to you. Please follow along. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there and look at that throughout today or throughout this week. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and were designated by God. And he was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now that Melchizedek is, you know, Melech, his name literally means the King of Righteousness. And he met Abraham in the Old Testament. Real cool story. Revisit that. But what I want to focus on today is, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect. Now remember, how in the world, you know, when I was younger, I used to wonder, how in the world can God be made perfect? But remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God. Theologians call that the hypostatic union. So, in his humanity, Jesus the man was perfected through suffering. Let me say that one more time. In his humanity, Jesus the man was perfected through suffering. And so a very natural question, is it possible that some lessons can only be learned through suffering? Is it possible that some lessons can only be learned through suffering? And the answer is a big whopping yes, yes, yes. Jesus was perfected through suffering. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes we go through very difficult trials so that we learn things, so that we're witness to others. There's all kinds of reasons for it. We may not know until we get to heaven what the reason is. Think of Job. Job went through all of that, and here it was a thing in heaven where Satan was presenting himself before God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. And Satan said, oh my goodness, that's only because you protect him. So God said, okay, you can do everything, but you can't touch him. So he lost everything. Then Satan is there in heaven again and says, you know, skin for skin, if I touched his body, he would reject you. Well, go ahead, you'll see. You know, and so for all generations, ever since Job lived, he has been a testimony. And so sometimes bad stuff happens to us because we're to be a witness and a testimony of what righteousness is. I know that a couple times during my wife's illness, she got really down. And I said, what's up, honey? She said, you know, I feel like I'm being a bad witness because God has not healed me of cancer. I'm a bad witness to our doctor. And I was just, honey, wow, I understand that's how it feels. But the reality is an even more powerful testimony and witness is how does someone live in grace in the midst of a horrible trial and difficulty? That's a profound testimony. That's even stronger than your healing. You know, and how many times has he said, I wish all of my patients were like you? He said that multiple times. My wife was a profound witness to God's grace and how he gives us grace in the midst of difficulties and trials. Hey, also from this, we can see that sometimes God's answer is just no. And Jesus was content with that. He repeatedly said, not what I want, but what your will is, Lord. Not what I will, but what you will. You know, this prayer of Jesus may be the most significant prayer in all of the scriptures. And what was God's answer? No. You know, I just, in progressive Christianity, and I just read a few books on that recently, God has been wrongly accused of child abuse. What dad would say to his son, no, and allow his son to be crucified. And so they accuse God of being, you know, a cosmic child abuser. That is so wrong. That is so false. That is so untrue. Jesus willingly laid his life down for us. Progressive Christianity is just wrong about that. They are totally wrong. You know, sometimes we hear no. Scripture tells us in James, we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't get things because we simply don't ask. And so the implication is yes. Sometimes we don't have because we have selfish motives. James goes on to tell us, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you don't have it because you're asking for selfish motives to consume it upon your own lust. We're only thinking about ourselves in this situation. By definition, Jesus acted in our best interest and died on the cross for us. And then sometimes what we're asking is not in alignment with what God's will was. Clearly, it was God's will that Jesus die on the cross, become a sacrifice for all people. And at John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He knew that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was in alignment with God's will. And then sometimes known sin hinders our prayer. In fact, Peter tells us that if there is difficulty between a husband and wife, it can hinder our prayers. So sometimes just sin, known sin in our life can hinder our prayers. Hey, again, implication from what Jesus lived in this passage. Is it okay to ask God more than once? Jesus prayed, asked three times. And then in Luke 18, 1 through 8, we see the parable of the persistent widow. The widow asked and asked and asked. She finally, you know, and it's not that God is bad, but Jesus said, just like this widow persisted in asking, so ask. And here's my general rule, Jeff's general rule. I could be wrong about this, but here's my general rule when it comes to praying and asking. Ask till you sense God's his peace. You know, I prayed for my dad's salvation for probably 20 years. Every single day I prayed for it. You know, in the book of Daniel, David prayed, and then I believe it was 21 days later he got an answer, and he asked an angel, what's going on here? Why did it take so long? Well, there was a battle going on in heaven. So pray till you sense God's peace or his release. Okay, that's my general rule. You know, I pray for something until I sense God has given me a peace about it, and then I can let it go, and it's in his hands. Back to answered prayer. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes the answer is trust me and wait. I mean, I think this is one of the very difficult ones. Trust me and wait. Just wait. You know, that's just a tough one. And sometimes God's answer is yes, and he gives us what we ask. But please remember, in our consumeristic culture, let us always remember, God is not a cosmic Santa Claus. God does not exist to answer our prayers. We exist for him, not him for us. One of our small groups asked if they could start studying a book, and the title of the book is The Circle Maker. And I read the book and started reading through it, and Pastor Trevor did, and we gave her okay. And here's a quote out of the book. Drawing prayer circles starts with discerning what God wants, what God wills. And until his sovereign will becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power source. The key to answered prayer is finding out what God's will is and praying in accord with his will. He's not here to answer our prayers. Now, if he leads you to pray, you pray. I think that's the key. That's the key in James. That's the key all through scriptures. You know, until you know his sovereign will, until that becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power source, because there is no magic in prayer. The real power of prayer is coming in alignment with what God wills and asking for that. I told some of you guys once before, you know, in a very dark time in my life, I was just desperate, and I landed on the verse, commit thy way into the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, what's the key there? Commit your way into the Lord. You commit your way into the Lord, and then his desires become your desires, and they become one, and you see that happening. So, yes, pray, ask, seek the Lord. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is yes. And always, one more thought. Please always, always remember who you are. You are the beloved of God. We can cry, Abba, Father, or our Father in heaven when we pray. You are the beloved of God. If you've prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are the beloved. You are not only loved, you're delighted in, you're liked. God loves you. And when we come to him in prayer, we can cry out, Abba, Father, just as Jesus did. And I think you all know that Abba means dad. It's the Hebrew expression for dad or daddy. Dad in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are the beloved. Hey, let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'm trusting that these passages of scripture are impacting you. They've impacted me. And so let's just look to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to begin in prayer and then a time of silence to just give God a little bit of time to speak however he chooses and however he wills. And so please join with me in prayer. Dear Dad in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are your beloved. We are either a prince or princess of yours. Our dad in heaven is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How amazing is that? And you've not left us as orphans, but you've given the Holy Spirit. And so we just take a moment to be still. Spirit living God, fall fresh on us. Whatever work you desire to do, do that in this moment of silence. Come, come. Dear Dad in Heaven, there are so many lessons from this passage in Mark 14. Please speak to each one of us. Continue to speak to each one of us. Draw us to yourself and teach us the lessons that you desire. Continue to teach us the lessons that you desire. Dad in Heaven, may only your will be done in our lives for your glory. Together we ask these things and we ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now for the discussion questions or table talk points. What are some implications of our praying our Father or Dad in Heaven? What are some of the implications of that? Second one, what comes to your mind when Jesus said, everything is possible for you? Well, he's talking about God the Father. Everything is possible. Is there anything that God cannot do? What are some implications that come to your mind? Would you please share that with each other? And then if someone asks you, is it okay to ask God for something more than once? How would you answer that? How would you answer that? If someone were to come and ask you, hey, is it okay to ask God for something more than once? How do you feel about ask till you sense God's peace or God's release? How do you feel about that? What do you think about? That's Jeff's general rule. I could be wrong, but that works for me. That's how I sense the Lord leading me to let go of things. Excuse me for a moment. Overall, what do you think about the three potential answers to prayer? No, wait, and yes. What do you think about that? What do you think about Hebrews informing us that Jesus was perfected through suffering? Again, that's the man Jesus. Jesus was fully man, fully God. What do you think about Hebrews telling us that Jesus was perfected through suffering? What are some implications for us? Are there lessons that we can only learn through suffering then? Is that true? Wow. Please talk about that with each other. And then what do you think about the quote from Circle Maker related to God's will and prayer, that you really need to come in alignment with God? That is just so important and so critical. And then finally, please share what the Holy Spirit impressed upon you personally during our time together. You know, that's just an overall. And then the benediction. I love this benediction. It's straight out of Scripture. And it goes like this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon you and grant you peace. Because you know that God's got this. And then the text goes on to say that God's name will be written upon you. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, you are salt, you are light. And so this week, may others see Christ in you and be drawn to Jesus. Blessings upon you. Have a great, great week in the Lord. Bye-bye.